Matt Lucas, and welcome to And the Winner Is. Yes, forget the Oscars and the BAFTAs. This is the Lucases, the awards that honour the achievements that other ceremonies overlook in categories you won't find anywhere else. A Lucas can be awarded for anything, from the least worthy charity to the most satisfying revel. With me this evening are three guests who have all brought along their own nominations for each of our awards. Please welcome Katie Brand, James Corden, and Graham Linehan. Welcome. Katie, do you have a favourite awards ceremony?
I do have a favourite awards ceremony, which is the National Television Awards.
Right.
Which some cruel people say was invented by ITV because they never won any BAFTAs. And it starts off quite dignified around the boxes of the Albert Hall, where all the executives sit. But as the evening goes on, the sort of the distant awards ceremony starts to become even more distant and far away, as if it's just happening on the telly. Trevor McDonald, about half a mile away, going on about some stuff. And all the television executives basically having an orgy at the Albert Hall, completely ignoring it. And it's just a real laugh. It's a lot of fun.
And again, it's just nice to get out of the house,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it's nice to get out of the house.
Yeah. James, you've recently won almost half as many awards as me. What award haven't you won that you'd really like to win next?
I always fancy my chances at Sports Personality of the Year.
Right.
I've always sort of been overlooked, but I feel like I've got quite a sporting personality and that it should be recognised.
What sports would you like to be considered?
No, I just like my personality.
Oh, he's very sporty.
Yeah, he's got a good personality. So I did like a sporting sketch for Comic Relief.
Yes, you did.
Because also, I'm always confused by sports personality because a lot of the people that win it don't have very good personality.
Well, that's it. Graham, you have won awards for Father Ted, the IT Crowd and Black Books. What's been your favourite moment at an awards do?
Well, it's seeing the ramp at the BAFTAs because our producer is disabled and he also worked on The Office and he knew that if there was a ramp at the front of the stage, then we probably won. So we'd often go to the BAFTAs and Ash would say, there's no ramp.
Are you serious?
Surely there was one year at the Comedy Awards where Stephen Hawking came on and presented one,
wasn't it?
Which must have thrown you horribly.
Yeah, but he was lowered.
I hate Stephen Hawking.
Why?
I hate him.
Really?
Yeah.
Not what he says, it's the way he says it.
Yes, yes. So it's time for our first award of the evening. Now, I did have a really great introduction for this award, but unfortunately, I left it on the bus. But what about those people whose alibis haven't quite been as inventive as mine? Nominations, please, for the Lucas for lamest excuse of all time. James.
Eddie Murphy being caught with a transsexual prostitute in his car. He said that he was giving her a lift home.
Okay. Graham.
It's a story involving my mum, a cat and a piano.
And Katie?
Mine is Hamid Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, for saying that the reason he'd signed a bill which drastically reduced women's rights in Afghanistan was that he hadn't really read it.
Okay. So the nominations for lamest excuse of all time are Eddie Murphy's I'm just giving this transvestite prostitute a lift, My Mum and the Cat and the Piano, and Hamid Karzai saying he'd signed the law drastically reducing women's rights in Afghanistan because he hadn't really read it. James, why have you chosen Eddie Murphy?
I think it's a wonderful story, because at every stage it gets better. So Eddie Murphy picked up a post-op transsexual prostitute in his car, and he's driving along, and then the police pull them over. And Eddie Murphy says, no, I was just giving her a lift home.
Do the voice.
No,
No, he's not racist because it's American. So
I don't
just
know who exists.
Say it's American and then no one will think it was black. So do the voice.
He goes, I was just giving her a lift home.
No, that is racist. Right. No, that was racist. That was racist. You've come on my show and been racist. So in a way, you've let everyone down.
He says, I'm just giving her a lift home.
Yeah.
Apparently, the police get his autograph and a photo and go, of course you're running her home. What a great thing to do. Let Eddie Murphy go and arrest the prostitute. Eddie Murphy then kind of just started digging a deeper hole where he was going, no, I do this all the time. And everyone went, what? And he went, no, I pick up transsexual prostitutes all the time, and because they're in hell. I'm a good Samaritan. It's what I do. I'm a great guy. And that's.
I think Eddie Murphy was silly. What he should have said is like, "Oh no, I'm doing research for the Clumps," and like, yeah, because where I play. Yeah, Norbit, where I'm like play a woman
who looks like a man.
And...
My favourite bit in every Eddie Murphy trailer is when the trailer guy gets really overexcited by the fact that Eddie's playing more than one person, and he goes, "Starring Eddie Murphy, and Eddie Murphy." I love that. That's
and
my favourite.
The last
bit
one is always so ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's always like and Eddie Murphy, yeah, and it's right. Like a dog,
yeah, or a car.
I think Eddie Murphy, I might have got this wrong, but I think most of his family live with him in sort of little bungalows.
No, they're all played by him. It's him.
No.
It's just him.
In actual life.
It's him 8 times.
Yeah.
He leaves the room, changes, comes back in.
Yeah.
Says, "What's for dinner?"
Goes,
then he leaves the room.
"You know I ain't wearing no shoes." And then goes out and comes back in. She goes, "Why are you going to wear those shoes?" And then he comes back and goes, "Damn it, woman, you know I ain't wearing no shoes."
That's it. And they're all
five
very...
5 minute conversation takes an hour.
And they're all very flatulent as well, aren't they? Yeah. Graham, what is your lamest excuse of all time?
Well, it's both lame, but it was true. Mm-hmm. It's a weird case. My mother was visiting someone she didn't know very well, and she was brought into this woman's living room, and there was a piano with the lid up and an open window. That's the two things you need to know about this room. And my mother sat down, and the woman said, "Would you like a cup of tea?" My mother said, "Yes." The woman leaves the room. So my mother's sitting there for a few seconds, and the next thing, through the open window, a cat just appears and hops down onto the floor. And my mother goes, "Oh, hello," and reaches over and tries to pet it. And the cat goes nuts and jumps up onto the sofa, runs around behind her, and runs around the circumference of the room. And every time it gets to the piano, it goes, dang, 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 dang. Runs around again, dang, 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 dang. Runs around again, dang, 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 dang. Runs out, jumps out the window. And the woman who owned the house came in and just looked at my mother. Who was sitting there. So she said, my mother just kind of understood and said, "Oh, no, it was a cat. It was the cat." And the woman said, "We don't have a cat." So it looked like my mother just waited for her to leave the room. Ran over, went bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam. And then ran back and sat down. So that's my nomination.
I think that's a beautiful story.
We tried to put it in Father Ted, and the producer said, "No one will believe it."
They won't believe it. Katie, your lame excuse.
Yeah, Hamid Karzai, who is the president of Afghanistan.
I'm glad you told me that, because I am thick as... I mean, I know nothing.
There are elections coming up in Afghanistan, and he has signed a bill last year to sign away some of the women's rights for the Shiite community, which is a part of Islam in Afghanistan.
I don't think you should call them that. I think it's not... Sorry.
I mean, the underlying story isn't very funny.
No.
It's, you know, sort of... he signed away all these rights in order to appease the sort of more conservative element in Afghanistan. Now, this provoked absolute international outrage because he effectively legalised marital rape and also that women weren't allowed out of the house without permission from a relative and took it all the way back to the kind of terrible, dark Taliban days. So his response to that was, that one, yeah. Because I hadn't really read that one before I signed it. You're the president of Afghanistan. That is the lamest excuse I've ever heard. You've just limited the rights of millions of women in your country because you hadn't really read it. And I just thought maybe Hamid Karzai doesn't really know about anything that's been happening at all. You know, I mean, like, you wouldn't want to be in the room where someone explained 9/11 to him. He's like, "But this is awful." Well, no, it's just I haven't got a telly. So I had no
idea. Because of the Taliban, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
My only thing with this is that I don't see it as a lame excuse. I actually see it as an honest answer. Do you know what I mean? And like, I think if we can find any good in him, it's that he at least just went, "Yeah, I haven't read it." He was just honest. He held his hands up. He's got hands, right? It's not that one.
Yeah. No, he's the one. He's got some. Yeah.
Okay.
No, the other one.
No,
he's not
really
Captain
know.
Hook. No, he's
I
not Captain
really
Hook. Yeah, no.
It's not Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, exactly. So, yeah, no. He's not the sexy cleric. No, he's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I kind of think, well, at least he just went, yeah, I didn't read it, I hadn't read it.
Well, I think they're all pretty lame excuses. I've got to decide who's going to win this award. Let's have a think about it. Now, the cat story is just a delight, whether it's but it's a lame excuse, but it's a real excuse.
It is true,
you see. So I think it's between the one whose name sounds like a toilet. What is it, Kazi?
Hamid Karzai.
Hamid Karzai. You can tell I'm well read.
Yeah.
And as for Eddie Murphy, no, I think Eddie is very benevolent. So if for that reason, we're going to award the Lucas for lamest excuse of all time to Hamid Karzai.
Yeah.
Now, for us humble British subjects, meeting an actual member of the royal family is the stuff of dreams. Unless, of course, you are A, a posh, B, a member of the BNP attending a garden party, or C, a fox about to be ripped up. The rest of us must study the wonderful royals with awe from a respectful distance. And what do we see? A nice elderly lady who sits in a big chair and wears a metal hat. Her lovable husband, who makes hilarious jokes about ethnic minorities to ethnic minorities and their children. But what about all the other royals, the ones who are just there? You know, like the bald one with the beard, who you don't really know who he is, but sometimes you see him presenting the FA Cup, and the players are like, which one are you? And he's like, I don't even know myself. So let's hear the nomination, please, for the Lucas for most pointless member of the royal family. Katie.
Mine is Princess Michael of Kent.
James.
Prince Edward.
And Graham.
Prince Morris.
So the nominations for most pointless member of the royal family are Princess Michael of Kent, Prince Edward, and Prince Morris. Katie, what do you have against Mary Christine Agnes Hedwig Ida von Reibnitz?
She just sort of constantly makes these little gaffes whereby sort of a long time ago she allegedly said to a group of black diners in a New York restaurant that they were making so much noise they should just go back to the colonies. And then as she left, she tried to make it better by telling the assembled press that they were just a group of rappers, which I just find a hilarious perception of anyone black.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, they were probably a group of rappers.
Yes. Or athletes.
Who should get back to the colonies. Yes. I mean, it's just a sort of fascinating window into the mind of Princess Michael of Kent.
I've not met her, believe it or not, but I know that her son, Lord Frederick...
Yes.
...is shortly to marry Claudia Winkleman's sister.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
And they are both lovely people.
Are they? Do you know them both?
I have met them both.
Well, hang on a minute. So you've met Frederick Windsor and he was really nice?
Yeah.
And you're now coming on radio slagging off his mum?
Yeah. You and your mum. That's what I'm saying to it.
James, your most pointless member of the royal family is...
Prince Edward.
And why?
Because where is he?
What did he say?
Where is he?
I don't know.
Like, what's he doing?
Well, I
where is he? What's he doing? And why isn't it more interesting?
Yes, okay.
Because unlike Kate, I want my royal family to be slagging people off, racist, going to parties wearing swastikas, getting drunk. Give me something. Just do something. Be somewhere or get out.
Okay.
The law should be that all members of the royal family are on Twitter and right, and they must tweet a minimum of 6 times a day.
But
six
Twitter's
tweets
inane.
A day.
It would just be you're just picking up corgi poo again.
Great!
It would just be like having toast and soldiers with real soldiers or something. Graham, why have you gone for, and you might have to help me out here a little bit, Prince Morris?
Yeah. Well, you know... You never see him. And
no.
They keep him in that room. And the only time he's been out, he does that thing where he's... You know what dogs do when they scrape their bum on the grass? He's awful. So, you know, you wouldn't even know he was a member of the royal family if he wasn't a racist.
No. What is his relation to the Queen? Because I'm not as familiar with Prince Morris as you are, I have to be honest.
I actually didn't think it through to that extent.
No, you didn't, did you? No, because you've been a bit clever, wasn't you? Why don't we all start a rumour, right? OK. No, we can all do it, because there's enough of us, so I reckon we can spread this, OK? The Queen has got, like... Oh, yeah, no, didn't you hear? He's got... the Queen's got this, like, fifth kid. Yeah, no, you never heard. Yeah.
and it's called
you
Prince
might be
Morris.
Able to, you might be able to spread it to people out who are outside of England. You might be able to get something
Why don't
something
we do
going.
It? Why don't we all... Anyone Prince who's Morris. On Twitter yeah, and I'm Facebook...
Are we actually going to do this, though? Because I don't want us all to leave and it just be me on my own.
Yeah.
And where's he kept?
He's kept in Blenheim. The tower where the princes were kept.
Kept in, yeah. And he spends Christmas at Blenheim Palace on his own.
Yes, he does. Yes.
Can he have his own special language that only he and the Queen know?
Yeah, and he talks like this.
And she has to visit him, and that's what you hear them talking
the
like
Queen
that.
Him, the Queen visits him twice a year.
Yeah.
The Queen goes to see him on her birthdays twice a year, and she sobs.
Yes.
And there's a tunnel leading from his room to Madame Tussauds.
Yeah.
Because he loves Madame Tussauds.
Okay, but let's say... This,
you can hear him running around. Yeah. Standing with the rest of his waxwork family.
He's a bearded baby.
He has a booming voice.
Sorry?
He has a booming voice. We have visitors. You must be quiet. Yeah. I am being quiet. I'm whispering. Mara Snatcher in the day.
I want to see the statue of Tara Palmer Tomkinson.
If you've just tuned in, this is Radio 2. And we're talking about Prince Morris, the baby with the beard. Okay. Well, I have to think of a most pointless member of the royal family, and I would say a rise winner of the Lucas for most pointless member of the royal family. I'm going to give it to Prince Morris.
Yeah.
Our final award celebrates all those dreadful musical acts who almost by mistake produced a cracker. Let's hear your nominations, please, for the Lucas for Greatest Song from a Musical Artist Who Is Otherwise Rubbish. And the nominations are James.
Suddenly by Angry Anderson.
Graham Linehan, The Man.
Follow You, Follow Me by Genesis.
And Katie Brand.
Paranoid Android by Radiohead.
Ooh, controversial. So, the nominations for Greatest Song from a Musical Artist Who Is Otherwise Rubbish are Suddenly by Angry Anderson, Follow You, Follow Me by Genesis, and Paranoid Android by Radiohead. James, you like Suddenly, but not the rest of the Angry Anderson oeuvre.
Yeah, I've heard some of Angry Anderson's other music, and the only way I can describe it is absolute crap.
Right, okay.
However... In the song Suddenly, I really believe he has created one of the finest love songs ever written. And if someone disagrees with that, you can just go, if it wasn't one of the finest love songs ever written, why did Scott and Charlene use it when they got married in Neighbours?
In Neighbours. Let's hear a little bit of that song.
Oh, please
now.
Play it.
You like that song, don't you?
Oh, my... Who wasn't just incredibly moved by that then? Just the tightness of that snare. And just before that bit, because it's all very soft, and it's like... And he's like... He sounds a bit husky at the start, and he's like... I only dreamed that I were fine. And it's all like that. And he says... I found the words I need to say... Doof, doof, doof. Do, 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 do. Suddenly, it's too good.
You like it?
Just the way I am. Suddenly, you're hearing me. And I'm running just as far. Are you not? Do you not? We didn't hear enough of it for you all to get.
Do you know what, James?
Yeah.
That's the second time I've heard this song.
Really?
Yeah.
What were you doing in 1988?
I don't know. I was in Afghanistan.
Were you? Not reading documents.
I was watching the wedding. It was a neighbor's wedding, yeah?
Yes, it was Scott and Charlene.
Scott and Charlene.
No, I've never heard that song before.
It's oh, my yeah, God. Angry
it
Anderson.
It's a genuinely brilliant, brilliant piece of work.
Wasn't Angry Anderson completely bald?
Yes, he was.
Completely bald.
He was completely bald.
So you like that, do you?
I love it. Why do you think I'm here?
He wasn't going to call himself angry. He was going to call himself livid. Graham, you've gone for Follow You, Follow Me by Genesis.
Genesis, yeah.
Should we hear a little bit of it?
Yeah.
Follow you, follow me, all the days and nights that we
The thing with Genesis is that they obviously... I only realised recently that Phil Collins, they obviously let him sing because he sounds a bit like Peter Gabriel.
Oh, I never thought of that.
But he does, yeah. And he sounds a bit like him there, you know. And I bet you they always hated Peter Gabriel. And every time Peter Gabriel left the room, Phil Collins would do an impression of him. And I bet you then, after he left, they said, why don't we get Phil to do it, you know? Not knowing that he'd wear vests and have big, hairy Bob Hoskins arms and kind of run around kicking a football.
Well, that real low point was when he put that gorilla costume on.
You know, I've never been a big fan of Genesis or Phil
Yeah,
Collins,
I'm not sure that they're otherwise rubbish,
song.
You see. I don't know if I can buy that.
I think there's one other song they've done that I really like, but
which
can't
one?
Remember the name of it.
Is it the one that goes, yeah, but a boo, ba ba da boo, da ba da doo, da doo, da doo, da ba da doo, that's all the same, that's all. Is it that one?
No, that's it. I don't know about. Is there anyone else here who wasn't blown away by that ad where the gorilla plays the drums? Why was that so big?
Yeah, I wasn't fussed. I'm going to put my neck on the line, and I know people will see me in a very different light when I say that that advert was just all right. And I know it's going to be hard to take me seriously from now on. I know it's going to be really hard, and it's going to upset quite a lot of people. They're going to leave feeling a little bit dirty, a little bit soiled. But that's how I feel. Katie, you nominated Paranoid Android by Wireless Head. Radiohead, I believe they're called now. Or DAB Radiohead, I suppose, soon, when it changes to digital. So let's hear a little bit of that song.
Enough, isn't it?
You like this song, so don't try and stop it.
I've got these two forces in me, which is my like of that song with my absolute hatred of Radiohead. Radiohead? So that like a sort of an embarrassing auntie.
Radiohead.
I like hip hop.
Yes. My dad used to say.
I think Radiohead. Should we get a hot dog and listen to some Radiohead?
I remember my dad talked about Duran Duran.
I think they were particularly at the height of their powers when I was sort of about 14 or 15. And I really liked hip-hop.
Right.
And it was very much... They were popular and it was everywhere. And it all seemed to be to do with middle-class boys who didn't really have that much to complain about, being anguished in their bedrooms about nothing. Maybe about, like, you know, whether they were going to go skiing at Easter or something like that.
I feel a bit guilty when I see Radiohead because... About 5 or 6 years ago, me and David Walliams, the closeted comedian, were on... we were at the NME Awards, and we went as Lou and Andy, and we had to present an award, and we were presenting it to Radiohead. And so, you know, for a bit of fun, we asked, could they put a ramp up? So, you know, I could be wheeled onto the stage. And David nabbed the members of Radiohead to carry me up in a wheelchair onto the stage. You know, I was lolling around, making it difficult for them, of course. And I just thought, oh, poor sods, you know, they've written these all these amazing songs, and here they are, carrying a man who can plainly walk, pretending to be a man who can plainly walk, up a ramp.
Yes, like some sort of king.
Yeah, well, don't they have better things to do?
That would have been ample material for their next album.
Yeah, exactly.
To carry Matt Lucas on stage.
And this is before he lost the weight. Well, I am still fat, though. I am still fat. I know that. Okay, well, I'm not sure, Katie Brand, that Radiohead are otherwise rubbish. I have to say, I think, you know what? A lot of their music isn't my cup of tea, but even then, I know they're not rubbish.
But that's my internal struggle, too. I know they're not rubbish, but I just fundamentally object to them.
And I'm not all that sure you can say Genesis are rubbish. So for that reason, I'm going to award the Lucas for greatest song from a musical artist who is otherwise rubbish... And it's no surprises to Angry Anderson. It's time to award the Lucas of Lucases, the very special gong that this week I'm giving to the most passionate guest, the person who has argued the most passionately, who's put their heart and soul into it. Maybe because there's not a lot else going on in their life, I don't know. But who has been the most passionate guest? Well, Graham, you haven't been without passion, but you've also been very considered and articulate and respectful.
Clinical.
Yeah, clinical, I think so. A little bit cold, maybe.
Mm.
Katie, you've shown a lot of passion, actually, particularly in the last category.
Thank you.
James, you've been passionate to the point of a sulk. So for that reason, the Lucas for Most Passionate Guest goes to Mr. James Corden.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
James, is there anything you'd like to say? Anyone you'd like to thank?
So I really didn't think I was going to win. I don't know. I should mention. It's Katie and Graham, isn't it? Yeah, I should mention. Katie and Graham because they really did put up a great fight. But you know what? This isn't about me. It's about Matt Lucas. He's made that clear.
So you're giving the award back to me?
I'm going to give the award... I'm going to share the award with you because you've only got space on your shelf for half an award and I've got space on my shelf for about another 19. So I'll put half on mine and half on yours.
It's a deal. Thank you very much. And thanks once more to all my guests, Katie Brand, James Corden and Graham Linehan. Join me next time when we'll at last find out who has won the prestigious Lucas for most useful piece of cutlery. Is it knife, fork or spoon? Goodbye. And The Winner Is was presented by me, the Right Honourable Matt Lucas. The guests were Katie Brand, James Corden and Graham Linehan. The programme associates were Bill Matthews and Jed Parsons, and it was devised by Ashley Blaker and Bill Matthews. And I came up with some of it, so whoever wrote these credits is fired. And The Winner Is was produced by Ashley Blaker.